You're on the Dan Time Podcast. I am your host, Dan McArdle, at Dan Time Pod on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube, dantimepod@gmail.com. And I've got another fantastic artist to introduce to you today, somebody who's going to fit nicely into an existing playlist. My guest today is New Zealand indie rocker Dan Sharp. We dive into Dan's songs, including his latest single, Late Night Poetry, and we highlight the EP and single of the same name, Man Don't Cry, where Dan broaches the topic of men and mental health. You'll hear Dan perform an acoustic version of Man Don't Cry on this episode. Between the Brave, Bold, and Given Up, that's the title of Dan Sharp's upcoming LP. Be sure to follow him on all channels. He's at Dan Sharp Music on the socials and dansharpmusic.com. And here are the guys making music with Dan on this latest project. Stan Bicknell on drums, Brad Craig on bass, Will Henderson on keys, and Johnny McLean on horns and percussion. Currently based in Mount Maunganui, Dan grew up in rural Awatera. Okay, we're going to kick it off here with a preview of a track from the Man Don't Cry EP. This is Interstellar Runaway. Folks, it is Dan Sharp time.
I used to wear the world loosely, catered to curiosity. I could carry all the weight on my shoulders, but now I'm sick of feeling tired. Where's the ones meant to inspire? And I'm left fighting for a piece of my own mind, of my own mind. Do I fight for a piece of my own mind? Waiting on a sun that just won't rise for me. I can't go back, yeah, I'm done with fine. I can't stay blind, I can't stay blind, no. So you can pull me on the next train. I need an interstellar runaway, 'cause there must be some place where it's not too late for us.
It is my pleasure. I'm super excited because I've been listening to his music here for a couple weeks, getting some goosebumps here, Dan, with some of the songs. Over 1 million streams on Spotify alone. New Zealand-based recording artist, singer-songwriter Dan Sharp is my guest today. Thanks for being here, Dan. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you've been pretty busy, I'd say, releasing a couple EPs, a new single. Man, I got to say, I usually start with the new material from my guest and work my way back. And I could see a progression in your sound. It really comes together. I think the current single, Late Night Poetry, is just a really crisp sound, almost getting a little bit back to basics maybe, adding some saxophone in there. And this is just a real foot stomper. I think you described it as, you know, it bounces along beautifully, and you couldn't have said it better.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really enjoying the catalog. How are things going now? Are you writing? Are you performing? You're doing a little bit of both?
Yeah, there's kind of always a hybrid amount of many things going on, like creating and then I guess the packaging, like what are you doing with the things that you create and what are the goals? So I often find myself wearing many hats, and I suppose the hats I'm wearing, it's all about releasing music. And the best way to do that is generally performing alongside a release. So then it's looking at how best to put this music on a stage with the people that have been in the band and how to really just get this stuff out there. But I am starting to crave the creative part again, because they're kind of like chapters in a book. It's been a while since I wrote the music, and I'm literally waking up with lyric ideas and hearing things, and it's been a little while since that's happened for me, and that kind of suggests that it's time to, you know, start creating again as a, you know, a routine thing, which I'm excited about. It's really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine the wheels are always spinning, new ideas, new experiences that you want to capture in your songwriting. The first track that I heard, and I probably will come back to Late Night Poetry, but the first song I took a shot on was Man Don't Cry.
Oh, cool. Oh,
wow. This one is just kind of you want to hear it over and over once you get started on it. You also described this as one of the heavier hitting songs emotionally that you've recorded. One of the main lines in there, what is a boy but an extension of the man who made him? Just love these lyrics. By day, he's building an empire, betrayed again by night. He's breaking. He's faded to a double standard life, and he wonders why the man don't cry. Performance-wise and sonically, I've been wanting to say this to you for the past week here. This is a big venue song to me. It sounds like the type of song that you're performing in front of a big crowd who's kind of jumping in unison, and you've just about got him in the palm of your hand. I mean, it's like really carved up and composed for, I think, that just that big stage atmosphere, like a festival atmosphere.
Yeah, I'd agree. It feels like it wants that. It feels like it wants to be played on the biggest stage, and it would sound at home in that space.
Kind of has some flares of Springsteen. I don't know Definitely. Why Sting comes to mind, but maybe just sort of that live component of Sting's package, you know, but you really hit one on all cylinders there.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's funny because, yeah, Sting is somebody that isn't, I've not really connected deeply with Sting, the Sting catalog. And as I've progressed as a writer, I've come to appreciate a lot more about Sting and the sound of Sting. And I only in the last couple of days, this is the third time I've heard Sting come up, and you know, hadn't come up for years before. So I feel I generally trust things in, like, I don't know how to describe it, but things come at the right time. Springsteen found me definitely at the right time, and maybe I was at the right time in my kind of journey to connect with that. And Springsteen is absolutely the right I guess example reference point. But there's definitely, if we talked in a year's time, I imagine Sting's going to be put in that conversation as well. I can just feel it, and I'm excited to go and dig into the entire catalog. It's just funny how these things work.
Yeah, see, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really listen to a lot of Sting's studio records, but I heard one of his live albums, and you have some of the horn section involved in some of that, and I was like, oh, okay, I can I get it now. Yeah, I think you really are onto something there. The song for me, I love Man Don't Cry, but Interstellar Runaway. I was thinking about this today. Listening to it this morning, traveling to work, and I said, this is the goosebump song. It takes about a minute 15 or so, but you look down and yep, the bumps on the arms. When you make liftoff on that song, how does that one go over? Do you get feedback on Interstellar Runaway?
It's funny because our first outing as a full band performing that song live is this Friday coming up at our local venue, which is sort of the venue around, and that's the show opener actually is that one. And I've had various formats. You kind of touched on it there in that introduction. Is an evolution of my music has taken place, the way it's presented and the way that I have gone out on the road and done certain things, even the color scheme, the branding, everything. It's definitely all taken shape over time. This will be the first time with a saxophone on stage in the band, and it's sort of it's a bit of an overhaul, new musicians who are on that same page, and I'm excited to see how it goes, but I know how it feels in the room when we play it, and that song it sets the tone. So I imagine it's going to be the opener for the foreseeable future.
And I love how you include on the Man Don't Cry EP a real stripped down demo version, it sounds like, the song Old Chairs. Just very raw. And I think the recording is appropriate for what you're singing about. You touch on a lot of subject matter that's, I think, very close to people who are listening, relationships, things that have not gone so well. And on some of these songs, I know you take ownership sometimes of a relationship that has gone sour, hasn't quite worked out. On some of those songs, are you writing from experience, or do you have characters in mind?
I would say everything comes from an experience, and that is sometimes not always my first-hand experience, but it's somebody close to me or something like a dynamic that I see. Certainly the relationship-oriented stuff, that has definitely been my kind of first-hand experience, and they often just come from a moment. The songs will come out of a moment where maybe something will happen. You might hear something or you might see something and you're reminded of a situation and a new idea, not an idea trying to create a song, but a new thought comes to mind that is a new lens on a situation. For instance, that song Old Chairs, which was recorded in a way I want to approach recording from an album perspective, and that song closes out the first side of the vinyl, so side A, and it's meant to be kind of like a palate cleansing, come down and just really tender as that part of the story ends. But that song, the genesis of it, I suppose, was sitting in a house that was literally emptied of everything that we used to have, and just thinking about like literally sitting on the floor and going, oh, the furniture isn't here. And that's so emblematic of the things that this house used to hold and what used to exist inside it. And I think it started out, it was sort of like the last, I can't remember what the phrase was, but it was almost like the last night in our first home. And that sort of kind of took different shape. And anyway, it felt like an important little just a snapshot of a thought at a particular time in the whole process. You know, it is a process.
Yeah, I think everybody has, when you talk about the room and the red wine stain on the carpet, yeah, I think you do a really good job of placing people, like, you know, maybe whether they want to go back or not, but everyone has had that experience where, they're sitting in a room where you used to have deep conversations with somebody, used to laugh with somebody. There was a lot of life in that house or that room, and now it's empty, but you see the traces of it. So I just think that's a really beautiful song and really shows how you're okay being vulnerable and showing that vulnerability.
Yeah, I've for some time felt like my my greatest gift or my power that I have is that I'm not afraid to be vulnerable. And I guess that there's some themes in there, particularly the song Man Don't Cry, where it's almost calling for people to be more vulnerable, particularly men, because how the line that you mentioned before, like, what is a boy but an extension of the man who made him? Well, often it's a pretty classic Kiwi trope around men don't cry, and I think, you know, it goes everywhere. Toughen up, harden up. And if the way I see it is, if people don't have role models of vulnerability, people role modeling vulnerability, how are they supposed to learn? So all we're doing is reciprocating, yeah, I guess, a cycle that has led to pain and bad outcomes. You know, I think New Zealand has certainly top, you know, 5 to 10 suicide rate in the OECD. It's the statistics here are really bad. And so while the song's not informed directly by one specific situation like that, it's certainly what's the environmental factors, I suppose, or an environmental factor. And I certainly don't think I've got the answers, but I think questions are important and vulnerability is huge.
Yeah, I like how you said that. It takes a man to get men to check into those feelings and maybe talk about them and maybe size up their network, size up the friends around them and think, do these people really care about my well-being? Maybe I should foster friendships with people that I can talk to freely and openly, and who might even ask me, hey, you look like you're having a rough day, or that's that type of thing. And so that's just a powerful song in so many ways. Speaking of the evolution of your sound on the Water Went Away EP, and going back a little further, there's some elements here which I really love, of R&B, some hip-hop elements, even, gosh, a song like, see, the way that you used to the opener might be my favorite, but gosh, I love Louisiana. I feel like Louisiana could be played on an R&B station. It could be even played on a country station. I mean, it's got, you really deliver the goods on there. It's an infectious song. Yeah, speaking of Louisiana, do you perform that one still?
I do. I don't think it's going to be a part of this next little run with the band. It was definitely, there's a number of reasons, and the evolution of the sound is an interesting one, because I really did start out just as a bedroom singer-songwriter producing my own music. And as it's growing into this band thing, some of those songs haven't translated as well to that band arrangement. But it's funny you bring that one up, because I always felt like that song was almost the dark horse of that group. I did the production myself on that one, and I actually felt like if that song had been put in a more experienced producer's hands, something could have done a lot more with that track. And I'm always interested, because there's the stories of songs that sort of sit there and haven't necessarily done a ton, and then they connect with somebody in a particular way, and maybe a bigger artist connects with it and they record it, and all of a sudden it's it can really go places. But I love that song, and I sort of wish I had paid and got a producer who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your kind words.
Oh yeah. I mean, folks, I like to say this early in the episode. Feel free, everybody listening, to hit pause on the podcast and go to your favorite platform, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you download music, and add Man Don't Cry EP, Late Night Poetry, and all this material, and start, you know, dig it into these songs. Because what I love on this podcast, and I said it last week, is that you can get recommendations based on what you're already listening to. Spotify is pretty good at doing that. And it's great. It's a great way to build your catalog. But somebody like Dan Sharp, you might not realize how much you're going to fall in love with his songs. And he may not come across the algorithm So that, it's just the biggest thrill of this podcast is to introduce some of this music where Interstellar Runaway hits me like a ton of bricks. All of a sudden, Louisiana, I'm here in Louisiana. I'm thinking, why in the world is this thing not a chart-topping just mammoth of a song? Or, yeah, like you said, it's got such crossover appeal that an established artist could have picked that up, and maybe they still would and record it.
Possibly. I had, when the Water Went Away EP was coming out, I had just signed to a small record label, an independent one that a promoter here had set up basically to try to get undiscovered Kiwi artists just a little more recognition and maybe some opportunity that wouldn't be there without that extra layer of support. But I did send that around to a number of industry people in New Zealand, and the consensus was, particularly with the way that it used to, if Lewis Capaldi was singing this song, or, you know, a big country act, this song could be, you know, anywhere and everywhere in the world. The song's primed for that, and unfortunately your platform isn't like at the place where it's going to carry that song, but maybe things will change. And I still feel like at some point one of these songs, if so long as the songwriting's, you know, good enough, at some point someone might be like, oh yeah, cool, I'll give that a go. And who knows.
Now wrapping up on this, on the Water Went Away EP, New Zealand musician website compared you to Ed Sheeran, Lewis Capaldi, Mitch James, Ryan Adams. People listening, if you haven't started listening to the catalog yet, just to give you some idea, they said, with an ease of lyric and warmth of vocal delivery, effortlessly good enough to remind you of your own favorite male acoustic guitar-wielding singer-songwriter. At least on these last couple EPs, you've gotten some recognition here. You're getting across to the live audiences. How do you see your sound progressing? You know, do you have a new single, new release scheduled for later this fall or in 2024?
Yeah, I've actually got an album coming out, and that's going to be out in April. And we've just been going through the motions as to like the best ways to, when I say we, me and this label that I spoke of, trying to figure out the best ways to get that out and make as much noise as possible. But a challenge that I've had is that it's really difficult to tour successfully in New Zealand and make it financially viable. So the decisions that we're kind of weighing up is where to put the limited kind of resources that we've got, and is it go out on the road and spend the money that way? Is it to have some amazing digital strategy, video, all of these things, and try to really reach an audience outside of New Zealand? And I do think that is probably the more sensible thing, and I'm excited about creating and going on the road can be awesome, and it can also be really, you need to be in the right place to really make it work for you, and that not be just a huge strain. And it'll be interesting to see what we end up going with. But yeah, lots of new music.
I feel like as an artist present day, as opposed to, you know, 2024, as opposed to 1994, how musicians and songwriters went about their day-to-day business in the 70s and 80s. Man, there's a lot sitting on your shoulders. You got to wake up every day and realize, well, shoot, I better generate some new content on my social media channels. I got people I got to reply to. And there's just so much kind of frontline engagement with your audience that just didn't exist before. How challenging is that where you're not just writing, you're not just performing and recording, but it's just almost this never-ending list of, you know, processes that you have to run through?
I think I've got a few thoughts here. I think every person trying to operate in a modern business environment has that same struggle, but where they've got to basically be active to be seen, and you lose relevancy really quickly, and platforms change, new methods come along. The thing that was working before isn't the thing that works tomorrow. And so there's a constant change, which I think that can be a hard thing to come to peace with, is that you can't just kind of set and forget and just do one thing. So there's a your strategy has to be a strategy of constantly evolving. I have seen and I've felt small versions of it myself where I just start, I guess, pulling away from being active because it does just feel like there's too much to do. And in the past, a label, a big major label, and maybe for the biggest, you know, the biggest artists in the world, they would still do this where there's enough resource around them to outsource that job and this job and that job. And like, I don't expect Ed Sheeran's written a Facebook post for the last 12 years. And since he really got picked up, and even then, who knows, I don't. But yeah, it's just another thing that you have to be across. The pros and cons of it is that now, with the platforms we have, if you can manage to cut through, you can reach billions of people at really no cost to yourself. Whereas to go down that major label path now, it really still is spend a ton of money, gather enough, I guess, momentum and groundswell, and hope that it picks up. And it doesn't always do that.
Yeah, I guess there's never been a better time than now to be an artist like yourself.
I feel that. Yeah, I do. I think that that's true. I think that to lament the old days, in that people used to buy CDs and used to listen to vinyl and have great sound systems and not just be listening on the earbuds, it's not really looking at the big picture. You couldn't really record a CD 30 years ago and have anyone know about it unless you had all of these other things in play, and they weren't easy to come by. I think anyone can create anything now, and that's amazing. It just means you've got a different challenge. It's not just the creative thing, it's how do I create some noise around it.
Right. I also want to say that, speaking of, never been a better time than now for reaching an audience. When I was a teenager, everyone had a tendency to kind of put themselves in little boxes. You know, there was the punk rock guys, there was the hip-hop and R&B crowd, there was the country crowd, there was the metal crowd, and a little cross-pollination, but not really not a lot. But I feel like today, kids are interested in listening to all different types of music. They're not satisfied to just stay in one department there. And do you meet people who are, you know, like their bread and butter is hip-hop, but they connect with your sound?
Yes, definitely. I would say that New Zealand does a couple of things as its kind of like core basis of its what works here, and that includes like reggae, dub. There's a little bit of a hip hop overlay there as well, but yeah, the singer songwriter rock thing, it has a lot less of an obvious home here than in other places. But I would generally say that people's variety of tastes is probably higher than it's ever been. And most people I know, most people that like music and most musicians just have a ton of things, you know. It's almost like it's mood-based listening now. And I think I read something around that genre playlist. It's not genre playlisting anymore. It's mood playlisting. So people want to, they'll go to how they want to feel or how they want music to amplify their current situation. So a classic one here would be like a Kiwi barbecue playlist. It's not actually about music, that I don't know, barbecue just describes the mood of sitting around having a beer and in the sun, maybe going to the beach. And so if your song touches into that space, it's a lot easier. This is what I read, how Spotify is kind of operating now. Yeah, if you can make your song match a mood, you can have a lot easier time of being discovered on these platforms.
Now, you're my first guest from New Zealand. I've had Dan Brody from Melbourne, Australia, a couple months ago. Maybe it's been that long. So you're from, is it Taupo? Have I pronounced that correctly?
Close. It was pretty good. I lived there. It's Taupo. And I lived there for about 4 years. I actually live a couple of hours north of there now in a place called Mount Maunganui. And it's right on the beach. And it's in what's called the Bay of Plenty. We're about an hour from Hobbiton, where Lord of the Rings, where Hobbiton was filmed. But yeah, I grew up not too far from here. And it's definitely one of the beachier, sunnier, warmer parts of the country. It's good.
And I understand you recently got engaged.
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, that was an awesome way to end. We had a trip overseas, and that was the perfect way to end it.
Where do you like to travel when you get some time and opportunity to go different places? Do you have a favorite vacation spot or place that you've been?
Not really. Not a favorite sort of place that we've gone like more than once, but I will say Kiwis have quite a strong connection to the UK, and we've got like a easy kind of work visa thing there. So a really classic thing to do is Kiwis kind of mid to late 20s, they'll go and live over in the UK for 2 to 3 years. We got the visa and we went over there thinking we were going to set up and maybe live there. And in the end, we bought a camper van and we lived in that. We just did the summer, came back here for summer, went back over there and lived in this camper van in Scotland. We had 5 amazing weeks there, back down and into Europe. Ireland has been awesome. I've been there a few times, but Portugal was the place that we probably loved the most. And yeah, lived in our van down there for probably 5 or 6 weeks, and it was, yeah, amazing.
Do you feel, obviously people who have listened to this podcast are like, okay, here he goes. He's just going down the rabbit hole. do you feel like the minimalistic lifestyle, or if you go on a journey like that and traveling, does it allow for more creativity when you're just, like I said, traveling and sleeping in a van or...
It could. I'd say it's personality dependent. It's and the time thing. I think everything's like kind of seasonal. If you've been in this kind of digital, urban, intense environment, like it's only natural that offsetting that with not having all of the things and lower stimulation, it's just like, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air or something. And you're like, oh man. And then by the end of about 4 or 5 months of it, we were craving being back. Like there was almost too long. So yeah, I'd say it's not the environment in which I get creative, and especially that traveling thing, but it's the environment that I get inspired. And so like going and seeing new things every day, reading incredible history, scenery, just being in places with stories that you haven't heard and like perspective changing histories, that sort of stuff informs a lot. And then I come home and I'm here and I've built this studio that I love, and I'm really excited to just get to unpacking all of this new sort of information and finding ways to make it, I guess to tell a story or to put my spin on it. Yeah.
Coming right back to your current sound that you've achieved on Late Night Poetry and listening to the prior releases, the prior singles, I just feel like you're very comfortable in your sound now. Not that you weren't on Chaos Eyes, the Water Went Away EP, but I feel like you're really doing exactly what you want to put out there. Like you've settled into this straight ahead. I love sometimes just hearing straight ahead rock and roll. And Man, yeah. Don't Cry, like I said, it sounds like a live song, or it's built for a festival atmosphere. And Late Night Poetry, that's kind of a repeat song for me as well.
Oh, kind of,
I like the percussion. You seem to pay attention to the percussion element of your songs. There's a, I don't want to bounce around too much here, but there's what I would consider an epic song. Probably, yeah, if I had to pick one out, By Your Hand. The final song on Water Went Away EP, that's like the real experimental. It gets a little chaotic at times, and it really builds beautifully.
Yeah, Yeah, I loved that song, and I recorded that myself, and I had a friend in the States, actually in Austin. He recorded the drums and sent them over, and when all the pieces fell into play, I'd sort of mapped out a part for him to play and gave him that. And it was meant to be sort of just a closing track, and live that was a huge song, but the recording really just didn't connect at all, in any way at all. It's my lowest played song on all platforms, and it gets next to no plays, but it's kind of like this little secret, well-kept secret, I suppose. And I hear it, that particularly the ending, and it's exactly what I wanted to do and the mood I wanted to create and the feeling I wanted to create. So yeah, I'm really proud of it. And it's not impossible that I'll re-record that with some better production values at some stage. We'll see.
I think it may be the longest song, clocking in a little over 4 minutes, coming up on 5 minutes. And maybe that's,
yeah.
I do like how most of your songs are kind of, you're in and out, but it gets the punch in.
Yeah.
I do feel on my podcast sometimes that it gets a little long in the tooth, and I'm trying to work on that. It's a personal flaw of mine. Sometimes people, you know, if you like, a baseball here in the States, and you don't, if you like a 15 inning ball game, maybe I have some listeners that enjoy the carrying yeah. on here. But yeah, I do like that your songs are really to the point, and it's, you either want to hear it back to back, or it just kind of, it gets you fired up. Dan, I guess one other question or a couple other questions. Do you have influences that are, maybe that you've carried with you for a long time? Is there an artist that's just a top of the list favorite for you, or a top three?
Yeah, I've had a variety of influences, man. Like I've gone through such different phases musically, from like really like hard rock and metal to acoustic singer songwriter folk stuff from the 60s and 70s, and it's always been about the song and why the song exists. It's not, I don't just create music just so I can have music out in the world. It's like, I feel like this thing needs to exist, and, or this needs to be said, or whatever it is. And for that reason, Springsteen has always been there or thereabouts. He's such an easy person to point to, because the songs, a lot of the source material and the things he talks about, is there's an overlap with, I guess, the tone and the music and the sound of the music. So but yeah, there's also a lot of like more modern soul and hip-hop artists as well that I take a lot away from. I've just listening to this album Malibu by Anderson .Paak on I've got the vinyl, and I just listened to it, and man, the ability to communicate in that art form, I'm really jealous of that art form, because he doesn't necessarily have to abide by like a melodic structure in the way that he raps. And so you can just, it's just such a different way to communicate, and there's almost a lot less boundaries in it. So yeah, I've been listening to that, and it's really liberating. There's a couple of Kiwi similar style acts. Avondale Bowling Club is one that's, he's put out an album recently, and it's just a phenomenal art form, and there's many, and I love that there's such a variety of ways to communicate stories and feelings.
I want to kind of pluck one song here from the Slacktide EP, going way back to 2019, Lifeline. The second song on here, for me, it reminds me of Johnny Lang did this record about 25 years ago, Wander This World. And it's like, okay, that's got some of that Johnny Lang flair for me personally. I think everybody connects with songs differently, but I love it. It's real soulful. And
Cool. Yeah. I think that was the first proper single I put out. And at that point, I was really connecting with Gary Clark Jr. Uh-huh. And I love Keb Mo. He'd be in that. Yeah. Yeah, certainly his first couple albums are more folky singer-songwriter blues. And so, yeah, a wide variety of stuff. But I thought that's where I was kind of going. But as my songwriting's just evolved, and the textures and the sounds that I really love, it's pulled me back towards more of a, I guess, a rock songwriter sound, as opposed to that bluesy kind of swampy, gritty thing.
Right.
Still love it though.
Well, Dan, where can folks, where can they see you performing in the next few weeks? Because I do have a few listeners in New Zealand. Hopefully they listen to the show, and hopefully they're close to where you're performing.
Yeah, the only show that I've got locked in is this band show. It's called Tōtara Street in Mount Maunganui, and that's on Friday the 8th of March. And the plans for the rest of the year, there's been talk of maybe doing some shows in the States. There's been talk of maybe some in the UK. And so, yeah, I guess the best thing to do is probably jump on my website, and there'll be like a mailing list sign up kind of thing that, as soon as these dates are sorted out and what it looks like, then it, people can stay in the loop, which is cool.
Well, you know, on Facebook or even or Instagram, when an artist announces dates, there's always those people that say, come to my town, come to my town.
Sure.
I'll put in a plug for Pensacola, Florida. If you ever make it to the northern Gulf Coast of Florida in the States.
Yeah.
Would obviously love to see you.
Oh, amazing, man. Yeah, I've not actually been to Florida. I have been to Louisiana and didn't quite get over to Florida, but I'd love to kind of travel that whole East Coast, actually. That would be awesome.
All right. Well, Dan, this has been spectacular. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Everybody listening, I think this is your same. They can find you at Dan Sharp Music across most of the channels. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll include that in the show notes. I guess one last question. Anything that you'd like to plug that you're listening to, watching?
The piece of film content that I've found the most beautiful and I've gone back to is actually a Disney show, Andor, which is a Star Wars based thing. Now, I like fantasy, I like sci-fi stuff, I like all sorts of things, but there's something in the filming of that and the scripting of that and the storyboarding, everything, that it's just such a beautiful, it captures such a beautiful struggle. And yeah, I can't quite define it because I don't have the terms, and I'm not like a huge film buff, but that has been a really beautiful, when I see things like that being created, I'm excited to go see the new Dune movie because I just love seeing people's creative output at such a beautiful epic scale. It just makes you think like, oh man, we can create, and people do create, and we all should to some extent be creating something off our offering. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Tap in. Everyone who's listening, everybody's got a special skill, and for some of you, that may be you're great with your hands, you can work on vehicles, you can repair pipes or electrical components, or you like to write songs, or you used to like to write songs. If you've got a guitar that's been sitting in the corner in the closet and you don't think your stuff's any good, give it another shot, even if it doesn't matter if anybody else likes it. If you used to like to write, whether it's lyrics or music, or used to like to play drums, give it another shot. If you've got the time, you'll be happy that you did. Dan, we talked about this beforehand, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have a song that you'd like to perform, or do you have the guitar handy?
I can definitely perform a song.
This is
and I do have a guitar handy.
This is a new feature on the podcast, and any of the musicians who have appeared previously and I didn't invite you to play, that's one of the reasons I asked everybody to come back. Because I always figure I'm going to forget something. I'm not going to ask you something that I should have asked you. So I always like to have people back on a second time so we could spruce it up. But yeah, Dan, what do you feel like playing tonight?
I think
tonight for me, I think it's still afternoon the next day for you.
It's mid-afternoon. I'll play a little bit of Man Don't Cry, maybe just a verse and a chorus. And this song was, as we talked about, it touches on some heavier themes. It really did come about from just observing a guy that I knew reasonably well, just not have the ability to kind of communicate. And I just watched him struggle, and he, yeah, just needed some guidance as a younger human, I think, and it just left him a little incapable later. But this is a song called Man Don't Cry, and it goes like this.
Too soon, it's only mental. He built his stone walls high. Walls whose waters falling down like his father, walking out on his mother, broken on where he still resides. Inside his eyes is a place he tries to hide, but there's no quarter. By day, he's building an empire, betrayed again by night. He's breaking, he's faded, a double standing laugh, and he wonders why. The man don't cry. Oh, he wonders why. The man don't cry.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Dan. Folks, if you haven't already, download the EP.
Much.
Try it out. Man Don't Cry, Late Night Poetry. We're going to preview a song at the top of this episode when I go back to publish the audio version. So another surprise there. This has been fantastic, Dan. Great to connect with you from about, I think, 19 hours time difference.
Yeah. And,
I'd love to come visit your beautiful country in the next few years.
Oh, absolutely. You'd love it. You'd love it.
Anything else? Anything about New Zealand, and I tried to pronounce the indigenous name. I don't know if I really want to try it again. I'll mess it up, but anything that you'd like to promote about your side of the world?
I think we're very, very lucky here. We're a little island tucked away from a lot of the big, you know, the challenges of the world. We've got our own sets of challenges, but Kiwis are generally pretty resilient and pretty friendly people, generally speaking. And yeah, traveling the world definitely makes me appreciate New Zealand. And yeah, I think things are a little bit simpler here at times, but it's a great place. And on the other hand, I've loved being in bigger parts of the world where there's just a massive vibrancy and music scenes and stuff. Like we are quite small here, but it's a nice place to be and a nice place to create. And yeah, I'm very grateful.
Well, the last thing I wrote this quote down, I'm not sure where I pulled it from, but this is from you. I always aspire to be authentic in the pursuit of something beautiful.
Oh yeah. I must've said that at some stage.
I love it, Dan. Well, thanks for being here. Best of luck to you in 2024, and can't wait to hear new music. Folks, check him out, follow him on the socials, and add his music to your catalog. Create a Dan Sharp playlist. Trust me, I would not steer you down the wrong road. You're going to love it. Have a great rest of the day for you. It's winding down in the evening for me. Hope to talk to you again soon, my friend.
Awesome, man. Yeah, enjoy your night. And thank you so much for having me on. It's a real pleasure. So, yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, Dan. That's it for this week for the Dan Time Podcast. You guys have a wonderful week, and be good to your people and be good to the folks outside of your bubble. Share a smile with somebody as you pass them by. You never know how you can impact somebody in a small way. All right. We'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. So you can pull me on the next train.